From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 9th day of June 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the agricultural energies with Stephen Platt at Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, we'll check in on the weather forecast with Don Day, and I'll update you on the latest as it involves dicamba for use on soybeans across the state of Illinois, across the whole of the Midwest. In fact, U.S. EPA came out with some guidance last night. They say it's okay to use the products that are already in the pipeline as labeled, but expect that which has not been allocated to be returned to the companies, and otherwise will comply with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision. We'll do all of that right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Now let's take a moment for peace and calm and listen to the rainfall outside my home. Here are the numbers as they settled in Chicago for the day. July corn down 6 1/4, 327.5 the settlement price. December 343 1/4, 4 1/4 lower. The March down 3 3/4 at 355 1/4. July soybeans 1 1/2 lower at 863 1/4. November at 876.5 down 1.5, and January beans down 2 at $8.81 1/4. Bean oil up 13 cents at 28.23. The bean meal at 287.10, $1.30 lower for the day. July soft red winter wheat down 7 at 504.5. The hard red July down 2 3/4 at 457 3/4 cents. Live cattle futures in the June contract at $96.32 1/2, up $2.20. The August feeders at $134.25 per 100 pounds, $1.17 1/2 higher. And lean hogs June contract at $48.07 1/2, down 50 cents for the day. Crude oil up about 46 cents a barrel. Ethanol just about unchanged. Heating oil or diesel fuel up 2 9/10, and gasoline at $1.20 a gallon is just about unchanged as well. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, now joins us to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. What was your assessment of the trade today?
Well, there's three or four things just that knocked things on their tail today. The outside markets being the financials down, the dollar making a little bit of recovery, the crop ratings very good, they're above what we were looking for, and the planting progress also being very good, and the funds being stopped being buyers. So all those things went together for a down red day on the board.
Your expectation for the rest of the week?
Well, the expectations are going to probably be controlled by what the government says Thursday at noon on the report, that way to see. But I think that, you know, we got the rain that come up through the area. There's been a little bit of concern about dry weather in Iowa, parts of western Iowa along that way. And, you know, we got a very good rain here just a few minutes ago. And I think that, you know, we're going to be watching the weather very close to see what does happen. But with this rain coming through, probably a down day again tomorrow.
Release of the WASDE, the World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimate. Which numbers will you be watching most closely at this time? Is it all about consumption?
It really is, Todd, because basically the production, you know, we've got it planted. We've got the crop ratings looking good. We've got some pretty good numbers coming out of South America. You know, we saw a little bit of cutback on some of the South American numbers today, but not big cuts like that. So it's going to be on how they look at the usage. I mean, number one, are they going to cut back on the ethanol use for corn in this report? And if they do, how much? On the other part of things, are we going to, you know, see disappearance or what's happening? And what are the stocks going to be? So looking at things that way. So yes, it is basically all about consumption at this point in time.
What are you hearing from your local ethanol plants?
You know, they are putting bids out there. They are starting to run again out here. We are seeing gasoline use go up, so ethanol use is coming back in, but we're still down, you know, 50% of what we were doing before this all happened. So we've got to see this come back now. As we see the economy start to open up and more driving happen, we talked to some people that are saying that a lot of the places are saying they don't want their individuals riding the trains or the subways and like that. And we might see more car usage that can bring things back up. But for now, we're going to continue to see an increased use of or increased consumption of gasoline because there are more people on the roads. And doing as we open things up, why we're going to see a lot of people have pent-up energy wanting to get out and do something instead of just sit home.
Do we know about the livestock sector and whether you believe USDA will lower the feed and residual number?
You know, I don't know that they'll lower that or not going on, but you would. We are fortunate. We are getting back to the our kill rates are going back up, and we're getting closer to where we were. And we've got to clean up this backlog. But there was a lot of stuff that didn't go, you know, feeder cattle that went back to pasture that didn't go on feed, and things like that. So it wouldn't be surprising to see them cut back on that.
What are producers telling you about the pause that they had over the last 4 days in the dicamba-resistant soybeans and their ability to apply? And USDA, as I've mentioned once and we'll hear again, is already, or US EPA, as clarified and said, to go ahead and use what is available in the supply line and has been paid for at this point.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to have been bought by June 3rd or June, I think, that way, and it had to be used by a certain time. You know, I think that it will. I know that the local suppliers here, John and I were talking about this morning. He says he doesn't know anybody that's got any left. That the co-op's all out of it. They don't have any left over there to use, or they've either sprayed it or it's already booked to be sprayed, and there is none to buy. So it's not much of a problem over here as such because it just isn't available.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. 97% of the corn crop around the nation has been planted. The rolling five-year average is 94%. 89% of the crop is up and growing. 84% is the five-year average, and 60% of that crop is said to be in good condition. 15% excellent. Last week's numbers were 61% good and 13% excellent. Soybeans are 86% sown at this time. The five-year average is 79% across the nation. 67% of the crop has emerged. 61% the five-year average. And it's said to be in 60% good, 12% excellent condition. That's up from last week's 60% good and 10% excellent. Now, here are the updates from Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Drier weather allowed Iowa farmers 5.1 days suitable for field work during the week ending June 7, 2020. Weather conditions were ideal for farmers to cut hay across much of the state. Topsoil moisture levels rated 1% very short, 1% short, 78% adequate, and 20% surplus. Corn planting was virtually complete with emergence at 97%, over 2 weeks ahead of last year and 10 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn condition rated 85% good to excellent. The soybean crop moved to 97% planted, 3 weeks ahead of last year and 12 days ahead of average. Emergence reached 87%, 10 days ahead of average. Soybean condition rated 82% good to excellent. Dry weather allowed over one-third of the first cutting of alfalfa hay to be completed during the week ending June 7, 2020, reaching 54% complete. Only southwest and south-central Iowa producers were unable to complete at least one-third of the first cutting of alfalfa hay during the week. Hay condition rated 75% good to excellent. Pasture condition improved to 70% good to excellent. There was little stress on livestock reported. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois weather was warm and dry last week, and 5 1/2 days were judged as suitable for field work by survey respondents. Field work activities included cutting and baling hay, planting and replanting, spraying and applying side dress fertilizer. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 1% very short, 10 short, 78 adequate, and 11% surplus. The average rainfall for the state last week was 0.5 inch, and that was below normal. Eastern parts of the state had above average rainfall, but the rest of the state was drier than normal. Temperatures averaged 74.7 degrees and ranged from 5 to 7 degrees above average. Soybean planting advanced by 14 points to 88% complete, compared to last year's 41 and the five-year average of 79. 67% of soybean acres have emerged compared to 65 normally. The condition of the soybean crop was reported as 9% of soybean acres in very poor to poor condition, 24 fair, and 67% in good to excellent shape. That's an improvement from 1 week ago. Corn planting is now 98% finished, compared to 65 1 year ago and 92 normally. 90% of corn acres have emerged compared to 84 normally. The condition of the Illinois corn crop was reported as 10% very poor to poor, 25 fair, and 65% good to excellent, and that is also better than 1 week ago. 93% of winter wheat acres have headed compared to 97 normally. And the condition of the Illinois winter wheat crop was reported as 13% very poor to poor, 27 fair, and 60% good to excellent. And that is also better than last week. Switching over to hay, the first cutting of alfalfa hay is 69% finished, and other hay harvest is 66% complete. Both are now ahead of normal pace. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Our thanks go to the statisticians from Illinois and Iowa, the top two corn and soybean producing states in the nation. We also have an update from Dan Loftus. He's the statistician in Minnesota.
Warm weather conditions boosted small grain development during the week. There were 5 point days suitable for field work, and field activities included moving cattle, cutting hay, and finishing up spraying and planting. Top soil moisture supplies are rated 2% very short, 16% short, 74% adequate, and 8% surplus. Minnesota's corn was 97% emerged, which was 18 days ahead of last year and 9 days ahead of the 5-year average. Corn condition remained at 83% good to excellent. Soybean emergence reached 89%, which is 18 days ahead of last year and 8 days ahead of average. Soybean condition remained at 84% good to excellent. Spring wheat was 96% emerged. Wheat jointing at 37% was 2 days behind the average. Spring wheat condition improved slightly to 83% good to excellent. Nearly one-third of Minnesota's first cutting alfalfa hay was harvested during the week. That leads to a total of 52% of the first hay cutting completed. Hay condition improved to 71% good to excellent, and pasture conditions also improved to reach 71% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Minnesota, by the way, is the number 4 corn-producing state in the nation. Some other states to check in on: 95% of the corn crop in Indiana has been put into the ground, 97% in Kansas. Nebraska, the number 3 corn-producing state, is completely done putting corn in the ground at this time. North Dakota has 87% of the crop in the ground. South Dakota, 98% of the corn crop in the ground, and Ohio is in at 94%. A quick update now to that dicamba story that has been developing over the last week. U.S. EPA issued guidance late yesterday that allows farmers across the nation to continue using existing stocks of dicamba products on soybeans. Last week, the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit vacated the registration of 3 herbicide formulations. This meant producers could not legally apply them to soybeans and put them in a hard place, as the timing of applications is imperative in order to control weeds, says University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager.
In the 27 years that I've been here at Illinois, I never recall anything like this happening previously during the growing season. We certainly have had instances where products have been canceled either voluntarily or their labels pulled by US EPA, but generally there's always been a period, a phase-out period, so to speak.
That phase-out period has now begun. EPA's guidance allows limited distribution of existing stocks by commercial applicators and authorizes all other sales or distribution of existing stocks of three dicamba formulations labeled for use on soybean and cotton only to facilitate return to the manufacturer or for proper disposal. Again, US EPA now says it's okay for producers across the nation to use existing stocks of dicamba products on labeled soybeans. On this Tuesday, Don Day is here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. We're getting a little rainfall here, maybe a little bit more than that. That's coming courtesy of Crystal Ball, but it sounds like you got some really unique weather after being warm there in your part of the world in Wyoming.
Yeah, I tell you, it's a really big contrast across the United States. It started this weekend with a cold, wet storm system hitting the Pacific Northwest and the Northern Rockies. And then last night, we saw snow down to 6,500 feet across Colorado, across Wyoming, closed Interstate 80 for a long time overnight and early this morning. Just an indication that, yeah, you know, it's not officially summer yet, and this cold system that's coming out of the Rockies is actually going to head into the Midwest and merge with the remnants of Cristobal, and we're going to be looking at more rain headed towards the Midwest, and the Great Lakes, and parts of the Northern Plains because of these systems coming together.
How much rainfall and when?
Well, it looks like the Northwest Corn Belt is going to see the heaviest moisture. This would be Iowa, parts of Missouri, Wisconsin, Minnesota. There's going to be 2 to 4 inches of rain here over the next week or so with the system moving through. Now, after that, it does look a little bit drier. But we continue to see ample opportunities for most of the central and eastern United States to see more opportunities for rain. That's where most of the action is going to be, although I think the heaviest moisture will be in the northern and western areas of the belt.
Last week, some of the models suggested that the summer would be hot and wet, or at least very warm and wet. Is that what you're seeing for the rest of June?
Boy, for the rest of June, it does look warmer. I do think that after the system moves through, because it will cool things off, that it does look like we are going to have a warmer pattern, but there's no signature that we see, no tendency that we see in our long-range charts of getting hot and dry. More than anything, I think the precipitation and temperatures as we go into the end of June, into July, into August, more often than not, will be trending pretty close to normal.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's Don Days with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Stephen Platt now joins us from Archer Financial Services. He's in Chicago and is here to help us talk about the agricultural energies. I want to start with the weekend, and this was delayed, I think, just a bit. Video meeting that OPEC Plus had about what they're going to do as it relates to supply. What did they decide, and what does the marketplace think about it?
Well, they basically are carrying over the current agreement. They are maintaining their voluntary cuts only through June, which those totaled about 1.2 million barrels. So in terms of the agreement, it really did not change much. Those voluntary cuts were pretty much established to last through June. Some people were pushing for them to be extended. It did not happen. I think OPEC is going to be watching other producers to see their level of compliance. And the level of compliance was interesting. When you looked at it relative to what they wanted, which would have been 9.7 million barrel cut, they only reached about 78% compliance last month, and that did shake them. For a long time, the compliance levels were quite high in terms of the OPEC agreements. In fact, it had exceeded those levels because of Saudi Arabia. But because of other producers such as Iraq, Nigeria, Angola, producing above their established quotas, they did not reach it in May. So this was a major talking point. And I think both Russia and Saudi Arabia, who have been the biggest proponents of the cut and have basically made the most significant cuts, will be pushing these producers to cut their production in line with the agreement. As we move into July, the original agreement to cut production that was made back in April for 9.7 was expected and is expected to be cut down to 7.7. I think Saudi Arabia will probably, and Russia will basically move toward that. So we are seeing some of the production cuts ease as we move through the summer in response to some of the pickup in demand that we've seen out of China and other areas outside the U.S., along with the U.S. as some of the lockdowns ease. So there's still a lot of uncertainty in this market on where demand plays out with respect to whether we get a second piece of the pandemic as we move into the fall and whether that will affect consumption. The market certainly has been quite wild. Crude values have basically doubled in value over the course of May into June. They're currently close to $40. Heating oil has also increased, but not as much because it has been affected by the steep up in jet kero demand, which is actually a diesel fuel. The gasoline has really been the one of the star performers here in terms of the market. We've seen the margins on gasoline go from almost zero back in April into as high as 17 at one point in May, and they have settled back. We're still looking at demand for gasoline at around 22% down against year-ago levels. What we're actually going to be confronting, I think, here going forward is how the large surplus that has built up, which is approaching over a billion barrels, gets drawn down, and whether the agreement is followed by the participants as closely as many as they might suggest by the numbers. If they don't, that situation could turn into another balance to surplus situation. They are looking at a small deficit developing in as we move through the summer as economies start to pick up.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate and value what you've given to us. We'll be looking forward to talking with you in another month to see where things are. And we'll talk with you then.
Thank you.
Steve Platt is with Archer Financial Services. His office is in Chicago, but of course he, like many of us, has been working from home. Came to us today from Crystal Lake. I'm Todd Gleason.